And here are the headlines that made the year 2024. January 3rd, Jeffrey Epstein documents were unsealed, naming prominent figures.
March 15th, a seismic settlement ends the 6% commission on buying or selling a home, impacting the real estate industry.
March 26th, the Baltimore Key Bridge collapses after a ship collision, causing deaths and supply chain disruptions.
May 17th, Sean Diddy Combs issues an apology for past physical assault against Cassie Ventura.
May 30th, Donald Trump is found guilty on all 34 charges in his hush money trial.
July 13th, Donald Trump survives an assassination attempt at a Pennsylvania rally.
July 21st, Joe Biden withdraws from the 2024 presidential campaign.
August 1st, three Americans, including Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich, are released by Russia in a prisoner swap, the largest in post-Soviet history.
September 4th, at least four people are killed in a Georgia high school shooting.
September 15th, the second assassination attempt is made on Donald Trump.
October 9th, Hurricane Milton hits Florida.
November 6th, Donald Trump wins the 2024 presidential election, becoming the second president to serve non-consecutive terms.
In December 2024, UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson was fatally shot in New York City. The suspect, Luigi Mangione, has been apprehended and charged with murder. These were some of the events that made the year 2024. And in 2025, you are listening to XY Podcasts.
Hit the music!
Good to be back.
Man, what a year.
Yeah, it is. 2024 was crazy, and 2025 has already left 2024 in the dust.
We're just getting started.
Next year when we do this, the headlines will be half the show.
We should make a segment just for headlines.
I think there's more than a few comedians that are making a living doing that now. We got the Jon Stewart, Bill Maher, what's his name? John Oliver, that's the guy on HBO, the British guy, does Last Week.
Joe Rogan.
I don't follow too many of the talking heads. I do tune into Real Time,
mm-hmm.
With Bill Maher, because he's a bit more of a centrist. And usually when you tune into like network news, it's like either one extreme or the other. Most of the networks are like, you know, pretty far left.
Right.
And then, you know, you have Fox News, which is, you know, the complete polar opposite. They're, you know, extremely right. And then if you want actually people that are just trying to present the news that is where it's like really, you know, just the news without any kind of a slant,
mm-hmm.
You almost have to go to the dark web, you know, like, and it's impossible to look at an event or an issue without having an opinion. And I don't think it's realistic to expect people to not have an opinion. But I think that if you're going to, you know, present the news the way they used to do it, you just said stuff that happened, you know, and then they would smack an editorial on at the end, because of course everybody has an opinion, but that's the editorial. That's where that belongs. 2024. I remember that, each of us on, different occasions had our own personal rants during the year.
Mm-hmm.
But 2024 was obviously, just by listening to the headlines, a pretty interesting year in terms of world events. But in terms of entertainment, I'm amazed how few films I remember from last year.
I have one particularly in mind that stuck out to me, but the other ones I'm just like, oh, you know, it was okay.
Yeah, it was really kind of a quiet movie year. This year is looking much, much better.
Yeah, it's already kicked off to a great start.
Yep, already saw The Accountant 2
I'll have to see
and
that one. It's one I missed.
the last Mission Impossible, although we'll see if it's actually the last one. But it was good. Probably not as, I don't think it was as good as the one before it, but it was still entertaining. My pick for my film of 2024 that I want to kind of do a bit of a dive on is the movie Here, with Tom Hanks and Robin Wright. And it's kind of like an experimental. It was directed by Robert Zemeckis. And the story takes place, it's a one shot. The camera stays in the same place for the whole movie until the very, very, very end, and then it pans around. But it's this one shot of this one fixed space where this house is, and it's set, like, I guess, in the living room. And Tom Hanks's character was born and grew up in this house, but the story chronologically jumps around. So it shows, like, when he's a kid, it shows, like, when he's, an old man, and shows him when he's middle-aged, and him and his life together with Robin Wright, and then his parents and who lived in the house before him. And they actually show before the house was built. There's, like, a clip from, like, when the dinosaurs were walking, and then, like, when there's Aborigines, like, hunting, the land, and it just cuts back and forth for all the people that lived in this house until Tom Hanks and Robin Wright actually are moving out of it. And by this point they're divorced, and she's suffering from dementia. I thought it was really well done. I guess it got maybe mixed reviews, but technologically it was impressive because they digitally de-aged everyone, so that they were the right age, depending on what time the story was being told at. And with the exception of, like, the eyes, it seems like, digitally, computers just can't really seem to get eyes perfectly right. There's always something off about the eyes. And if you look really closely, like, I remember there's a one shot r where Robin Wright is in a close up, but it's a de-aged version of her. And you can just kind of see, like, the light in her eyes just looks a little unnatural. But once again, I'm looking for that kind of stuff because I'm like, oh, they're de-aged. But other than that, it's some of the best, de-aging work I've seen in a movie. And I just thought it was, like, really nifty. And the fact that it was, like, a one shot, it kind of reminded me of, like, watching a play, which, given, my stage and acting background, I kind of appreciated the approach.
Yeah, that's right down your alley.
Yeah. But I kind of dug it for that. And there's not, these days, me and the missus, we try to, like, watch a movie every Saturday night, and we watched that one together. So maybe I enjoyed it a little bit more because of that. But it was also one of the better movies that we've watched. Last night, for example, we watched Scary Movie 5.
That What'd you think of
Don't, don't.
it?
Just don't. Oh man. It wasn't my pick, it was my wife's pick. And she's like, oh, there's a movie I want to watch. Oh, really? What is it? I'm, curious. And she's like, Scary Movie 5. And, like, already I'm like, ooh. So we watched it dead silent the whole way through. From the time we started the movie till, like, the credits rolled, there wasn't a peep. I think you could hear people breathing. You could hear the two of us just drawing breath. That was it. And then the credits are rolling. My wife, she makes the comment, that was bad. And if you haven't figured out, I don't recommend it. But I do recommend Here. I think it's a pretty slickly made film. And if you want to just see something different, which it's always interesting with all the, I guess this probably has to have been millions of films made by now. It's interesting when you can see something a little bit different. So I kind of dig it for that.
Yeah. Scary movie. Them kind of movies kind of reminds me of the B-rated college. You know, like trying to recreate American Pie.
My take on the scary movies was it was them lampooning the genre the way Zucker and Abrams guys did with the Airplane movie and then like Police Squad.
Oh yeah.
That was kind of my take on that. And because I mean, even then, even Scary Movies 5 was it was spoofing Black Swan and Mama and a few other movies. Oh, and Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. I think they're making a sixth one as well.
Of those,
Yep, Scary Movie
yeah.
6.
Oh. Okay, wow.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I won't see it, but I won't be going to the theater to see it.
It's not on your theater list.
It's not, definitely not. There are a few films in the theater this year that I definitely want to check out. I'm actually surprised at myself. I'm looking forward to seeing the live action remake of How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna go see that for sure.
It's you know there is a behind the scenes featurette on Peacock about it, and it looks good. And I dig that they brought Gerard Butler to play the live action version of his own character.
Right.
So that's pretty awesome. And now he's like he just kind of like aged into the role. So,
Yeah, and he was all for it too.
did you have a film pick for 2024?
I did, and it's gonna sound weird, but Imaginary, the movie Imaginary, it was really scary, actually. Jessica, played by Tegan Burns, and her mom, DeWanda Weiss, move into their childhood home, and
Oh.
they find a stuffed animal, the stuffed bear.
Yeah,
Now,
I
if
remember
you,
seeing this when advertised, but I did not see it.
oh, you have to see this movie. There's a couple parts now that just completely made me and my oldest daughter jump out of our seats.
Oh.
And
I would be.
it's like a plot twist at the end too. It's so amazing. If you ever hadn't seen it, you'd have to go see it.
Well, I will probably check it out at some point if it's on streaming somewhere. My wife won't watch scary movies
Unless it's titled Scary Movie.
unless it's titled Scary Movie because it's guaranteed to not be scary.
Oh man, we had so many same titled and same looking movies last year, it seemed like.
It probably has something to do with the marketing. The way they, there's people, we keep forgetting that there are people paid to sit around tables and decide this stuff. What's the best title or best way to package something?
Yeah, how come we don't do that?
Well, I can think of several good reasons why they shouldn't do it. I just recall recently seeing John Oliver do a joke about, of all things, the network that he's on, HBO Max, changing the title from HBO Max to Max back to HBO Max. I know that they changed the color of the logo. When you click on it to stream, it was like, like a brilliant royal blue, and now it's like
Yes.
this muted, like, barely blue. It's like a blue gray almost.
Did I see a
And
purple at one point?
there are people making these decisions, and we're like, why? I kind of a believer in just do your own thing, but do it well.
Yeah, and if it's
Adopt
not broken, don't fix it.
precisely. Adopt the Prince philosophy. Just do your own thing and do it well. The Prince, I think, is like one of the few people who's ever like released music without a bass line.
I never noticed that.
He, the first song I knew that didn't have a bass line that he released was When Doves Cry. And I actually just recently saw somebody posted a video on YouTube about the story behind that song. So just really quickly, When Doves Cry was recorded after the Purple Rain soundtrack was pretty much already done.
Right.
But, because it was for the film, the director said we need We need another song that kind of speaks to, the romantic strife and, that aspect, basically the stuff that When Doves Cry is about. So Prince wrote the song in a day, while I think most of the soundtrack for Purple Rain was done by him and the Revolution to varying degrees, him and the band. He did everything on When Doves Cry himself. He played everything. He did all the writing. He did all, it was just him and an audio engine, an audio producer. So basically him and one other person worked on that song, recorded it in a day, but then he spends like forever editing it and cutting it. And as he was, working on the song, he was basically just kind of removing stuff, because it was, he basically overproduced it. And then he was like, I don't need this. This can come down. And at one point, he just decided to remove the bass line.
He was a mastermind behind this
Yes.
music.
And this is one of the things that inspired that was he said, growing up, he listened to all kinds of music. And he didn't like the fact that playing the type of music that he played, that he wasn't going to get play on certain radio stations or by MTV because he was known as being like a funk music artist. And that
Right.
wasn't what he wanted to be known for. He wanted to be known as a guy who could play anything, which he could. So when he took the bass line out of When Doves Cry, it did make the song more accessible. And then I didn't realize that he took the bass out of Raspberry Beret. But apparently there was no bass line in that one either. But I knew that there was no bass line in Kiss, at least for the first half of it. If you listen to the long version of Kiss, the bass comes back in.
I'll have to re-listen to this song.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, but there's a guy who said, so because everyone else was doing it wasn't the reason for him to do it. He was also one of the first people, by the way, in the 90s to throw out all of his electronic stuff. And then people followed suit.
Right. And did he ever use autotune?
I'm sure not.
That stuff kills me. Like.
No, I'm sure he didn't. As a matter of fact, Prince wasn't what I would consider to be like the greatest vocalist ever. I mean, he what he did well enough to, for his music. He could hold a note. I mean, well, he could hit a key, but I wouldn't say that. I mean, if you were to put him and his biggest rival side by side, comparing them vocally, Michael Jackson would have blown them away vocally.
Oh, absolutely.
But you stick both of them in a recording studio, and Michael Jackson's going to be surrounded by a whole platoon of engineers and people, and Prince could do everything by himself.
So I
So,
look at it too. If you're not T-Pain, leave the autotune stuff alone.
well, they, I think a lot of, a lot of times, studios, whoever's paying the bills, they often have a hand in telling you what you will and will not do creatively.
Right.
Just like with films. Television. Now, I did watch some TV
Let's see
in
here.
2024,
I don't
but
think I did.
I know I did because, I was home in front of the television. But I think my top TV pick for last year would have been Dark Matter on Apple TV. It starred Joel Edgerton and Jennifer Connelly. So Joel Edgerton plays a guy. He's kind of living an ideal life. He's, married to an attractive wife. He's got a teenage son, and everything seems to be pretty, ordinarily nice. And then one day he is abducted and wakes up in a parallel universe. And it turns out that he was abducted by himself. The one, or the version of himself who lives in that alternate parallel universe, who just wanted to steal his life. So it's actually a pretty well done show, but it ends up being a multiverse show. So it kind of has that everything everywhere all at once multiverse MCU kind of vibe with, you know, different versions of things, and it gets kind of mind trippy by the end of the first season. But I really dug it. I thought it was a pretty well done show.
I got one that I think you'll remember after I say it's the name of it. And also played the video game that's adapted to the TV show.
What are you talking about, The Last of Us?
That's a good one. I did play the. I'm still playing the game to it, but Fallout.
Oh, yeah. I didn't watch that one.
Oh man,
Was
you
it
have
good?
got to watch that one immediately. Yeah,
I've
they're
heard
like
mixed.
a.
Go ahead.
You know, they're like in a bomb shelter. The nuke goes off, blows everything up. There's mutated everything.
Yeah, I heard mixed reviews on that one. I think my mother was watching it.
Yeah,
Well,
you definitely have to watch that one for sure.
I'll have to check that one out. I didn't mention The Last of Us because I thought the first season came out in 2023.
Okay.
And I did just finish the second season, which just wrapped up like a few weeks ago. And I'll wait to see what they do with the, because what I did was when the second season premiered, I knew what the story was because, you know, I've watched enough YouTube videos, but I hadn't played the game yet. And then, you know, I said, well, one of the cool things for me watching the first season was I had played the first game, so I knew that story pretty well. So I wanted to be able to compare the differences between what they did on screen and what they did in the game. And they seem to follow the game pretty closely.
I was
So
going
I
to ask you what
actually,
your take is on that.
yeah, for the most part, they changed the timeline, not the timeline, that they changed the period. I think the game took place further in the future than the show. I mean, it's still post-apocalyptic, you know, it's still everything's run down. But I don't. There's like a couple decades difference between when the story takes place in the show and in the game. The second season, for the most part, is following the broad strokes of the game. They made a few differences. They made a few story differences. I don't fault them for making most of them because it's a different media. You can't do the same things in a game that you can on a TV show, and vice versa. So there are certain things that have to be truncated, certain things that you need to flesh out in terms of, you know, a narrative, because you're not playing the character, so you're not going to identify with the character, you know, the way you would if you're playing a game first person.
Right.
So I understand some of those differences. They did something a bit controversial, though. They added a psychiatrist into the show. I think just to kind of handle some of the exposition, or, you know, maybe find a way to develop characters by just talking about it instead of showing. Because once again, you know, and the second season was only 7 episodes, which was really short. The one thing that I don't like, that I can't find a justification for, is have you played the second game yet?
No, I haven't, not yet. Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, you played the first one?
I have.
Okay, well, you know that Joel is basically—he's a pretty ferocious dude.
Oh yeah.
If he needs, and then that small segment when you're playing Ellie, and I thought that they did a good job of capturing this in the first season of the show when Ellie has to escape from the cannibals. But for the second season, they actually spent a good deal of time putting Bella Ramsey through like jiu-jitsu training and combat training and making it look like she could, you know, convincingly kick some butt. And
I have to admit, I haven't seen the second season yet.
well, you're not going to see her kicking any, you're not really not going to see her kicking any butt, though. The whole season, they show her like training in the beginning of the season, but like, they don't show her really taking anyone out. They kind of went out of their way to kind of tone down her ferocity I mean, because in the game, you know the you at least do know the premise of the story of the second game.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, yeah, which is why I didn't play it for a long time because I was just like that doesn't just doesn't seem as interesting to me. But I decided to go back. I basically binged the second game after the second season started so that I could be ahead, so I knew what to expect. But when you're playing the game, though, I mean, Ellie is fierce. You're sneaking up behind dudes and cutting their throats and stabbing infected in the side of the head, and or she'll come up behind somebody, grab them by the throat, and then like shoot them in the head. I mean, she's just brutal. And then and the dogs are a big part of the second game. If somebody has a dog, dogs can detect you from far away because they can smell you and hear you.
Right.
So I just take dogs out. If
You
I see a
just
guy,
straight up slaughter him.
oh yeah, I mean, and that was one of the biggest controversies about the second game. Is people are like, oh no, they're killing dogs. Yeah, they were pretty brutal to the animals. I mean, Ellie's horse gets blown up.
Like, yeah, well, they got rabies, so I'm gonna kill him.
These are well cared for dogs. They get German Shepherds and other breeds, but yeah, they just they I mean they sick the dogs on you. So if I mean if you don't kill them from a distance, they will attack you. But I just started like once I figured out the whole silencer thing or using bows, I'll just kill them from a distance. Or you kill the owner or the you kill the person handling the dog, and then the dog just sits there mourning over their owner, and then they don't bother you. But yeah, like I said, I would see a dog, I would just snipe it from the distance so that it couldn't come find me. But apparently, it takes a special kind of cruelty to do that to a video game dog, apparently. But yeah, but in the show, there's no dogs, no killing of dogs. They rode out. Ellie's horse doesn't get blown up. For starting the show off as brutally as they did, beat for beat with, killing Joel and how they killed him. And they're trying to make the point that, an eye for an eye leaves everyone blind. It just bothered me that they went out of their way to kind of, make Ellie not as vicious as I mean, once I get it's a different genre, and I get, of course, there's going to be a body count because it's a video game, but.
Right.
I think they softened her up too much. And I don't click on the videos, but I see there's a lot of videos, as I expected, that Bella Ramsey, who plays Ellie in the show, is getting a lot of hate. And I think undeservedly, because she's a fantastic actress.
I'm a big fan of her.
Yeah, I think she's really good, and she's doing everything that that she's being asked to play, and she's playing it flawlessly. But she obviously looks different from Ashley Johnson, who played Ellie in the game. But so what? I think in terms of capturing the spirit of who they wanted to portray, she's nailed it. And she comes across actually as tougher character-wise than I think Ellie does in the game. I could believe that the Ellie in the show could slit throats and shoot people in the head with no problem. I'm not even going to pretend that I had any music from 2024.
Man, I don't have any music from 2024, but I've got a couple songs that are disturbing. Okay. One of them's not really disturbing, it's just funny, and it's kind of, to me, it was, can I use the word stupid? Is that all right?
Sure, yeah,
Yeah,
yes.
I'll use the word stupid. It was stupid. A song called Diet Pepsi.
Diet Pepsi.
Yeah, I mean, they're just start naming songs after drinks. You might as well have one called Fanta,
Tab.
Tab, yeah. RC Cola. Diet Pepsi. Yeah, and my
Ouch.
mom actually made fun of that song too, and just the title is so stupid. Okay. This other one, it's famous. It's a Korean word, I guess. My daughter told me about it. And it's supposed to say apt, APT, that song. Have you heard of it?
Okay. No.
Well, listen to it, and I'm gonna tell you what I think it says. I swear it says, "Get off my tit. Get off my tit."
There was an old Queen song called "Don't Try Suicide."
You can only try that once.
And one of the lyrics, "All you do is get on my tits." Which was
My tits
confusing
off my
to,
tits.
all you do is get on my tits. So, which is confusing for, a young boy of 10. But, realizing now that Queen was a British band and knowing much more about Freddie Mercury now than I did then, all that to say is it is entirely possible that that's the lyric that you heard in that song.
Let that sink into your head after you listen to
So no m n no music beyond Apt and
Diet
Diet Pepsi.
Pepsi. That's all I got for you, man.
Diet Pepsi. Well, I don't feel bad about not having any music picks then, because that's Diet Pepsi.
They're running out of ideas, and it really shows.
It does. It's getting to the point
Anyway.
where I feel like I could probably make music.
Honestly, like anything past 2009, I'm just like, meh.
This is not really. I mean, when I put on the radio in my car, if I'm not listening to a podcast, I'm listening to either jazz or music from the 70s and 80s.
You know what? Last year had one good album. Well, actually, one great album. And it was The Death of Slim Shady by Eminem.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was released last year.
Well,
Let me look this up before I. Okay, yeah, July of last year it was
okay.
released. There you go. One great album. Whole thing's great. You got to listen to it front to back.
I caught the tail end of an interview of Slim Shady on YouTube, talking about his beef with Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh man, he Eminem just roasted the heck out of him. He was done. He should have. That's why he switched genres. That's why he went from rap to whatever pop stuff he's doing now.
Well, from what I understand, he started it.
Oh, he did. He started it by talking about his daughter. Who talks about somebody's daughter?
Machine Gun Kelly, apparently.
Man, what an idiot. How does he not know Eminem's history from like the early 2000s, late 90s? Don't mess with that guy.
Well, we live in a day and age, though, where people feel like they can talk smack from a distance and be safe.
Yeah, we call them what are they called? Keyboard warriors.
Right. It's since the advent of Facebook and similar platforms, people feel like they can be safe and talk smack.
Yeah, be telephone tough guys.
So, what's on your mind, brother?
Might have been a lot going on. One thing that's really bothering me, I don't know why it's bothering me so much. I guess from when I was younger to I talk to a lot of people every day. Okay, I talk to like hundreds of people. Okay, and one thing that gets to me is workplace equality, and I'm not talking about like time or whatever, but it's like if you're the boss, and I know you're a boss, right? So,
I am a boss.
and you treat everyone as if, you treat everyone the same, equally. You can't talk to one person without talking to the other person like you did that one person, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just that's really bothering me. Like, why can't people do that? Why can't people treat everyone equally?
I will say this. I'll say that You know, obviously, I go out of my way to make sure that the playing field is level for everybody and that I treat everybody fairly. Now, I will say that since I have different people on my job, I treat those people differently in terms of how I relate to them. You can't treat everyone necessarily the same in terms of your interactions, but you definitely want to make sure that you're treating everyone equally, giving everyone an equal opportunity to succeed and being fair about it. That's
right.
I think that's as a boss, that's not even, you know, something that's questionable. That's not even an option. It's treating people how you want to be treated.
And it's like this. This girl came in and she, I'm not giving names, by the way. It's her first time having a job, and she already knew right off the bat. She's like, these people get more hours. These people are praised on what they do, and they threw me like a 30-minute lunch, and I work like 4 hours now. Five? No, she said five. And it's like, how come they get the hour lunch and the she already knew who the favorites were. You know what I mean? And in a workplace, there should never be a favorite per se.
No, there shouldn't. And in fact, that's very much an HR issue.
And that's what I told her. I said, you need to go to HR. I know it's your first job and it's like only a week into it, but you really need to talk to somebody about it. Or find a new job, or, you know.
It definitely needs to be addressed, for sure.
Well, when I see her again, I'll ask her if she's all right. You know what I mean?
And that's actually pretty cool of you to do that. But
I get connections, and you know, like the customers that come in, I have a connection with.
But like I said, it's important to treat everyone fairly.
Right.
That's why I make the bucks.
That's why I make the bucks.
That's why I make the bucks, because they're definitely not big bucks, especially once the government gets done taking their share. You have a quote.
I do have a good quote for us, and I'm actually going to reference The Lion King since we talked about it earlier.
Yes.
Okay, the past is history, the future is a mystery, but today is a gift. That's why it's called the present.
Okay. That is a good one.
That's one of my favorites.
I might have stolen that one myself. And, well, with that, I will say X.
Y.
Z. You later.
That's probably the most in sync we've been. That has to be the most in sync we've been. It only took us a year to figure this out.